Welcome to The Capital Connection, a weekly conversation on New York State government and politics. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for The Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is Nancy Zimpfer, the 12th chancellor of the State University of New York, and by many people's marking system, the most successful. Welcome, Chancellor Zimpfer.
Wow. Who knew you were going to say that?
I did. It was sort of setting you up for the rest of the day.
Yeah, I get it.
So, how's it going?
Well, looking back, 7.5 years, pretty terrific. Best job I've ever had. Most fun. Largest system. A lot of things are getting done. So it's good. It's all good. We're in the middle of a budget season, so we've got work to do. But by and large, I'm thrilled.
But by all standards and all observations, sometimes chancellors of state universities don't get along well with governors. But this governor seems to be working hand in hand with you on just about everything.
We have a lot of work in common. And the nice thing about it is, I think we're so committed to New York State's success, and we have been since the day I arrived. So we're a natural place to look when the governor wants to make progress. We've supported and really led a master teacher program, which is outstanding. We've really participated in shared services from the get-go. We have adopted
shared services
as in reducing our costs by procuring together across our campuses by reducing management expenses. He asked us to do that at the very beginning of his administration, and now we've hit a $100 million run rate annually in savings, which we feed back into the academic enterprise. So it's been good. I think that the things that we have shared, I mean, most recently, the $15 an hour wage, living wage,
yep,
for the SUNY population.
So everybody in SUNY is going to be getting $15 an hour.
Well, over time, eventually, we have to work at it. You know, it costs money.
Yeah.
But we are introducing this concept. We were the first organization to go with the governor on this announcement several weeks ago in New York City. When I think about the sexual assault prevention, we've been a front runner in that regard. Our MWBE commitment, our commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion, these are all high priority. Think of Startup New York. I mean, I made a list the other day on the back of an envelope, and I quit writing on 20 different initiatives that we have partnered with this governor on.
Speaking of which, Chancellor Nancy Zimpfer, did you learn anything from the now sort of infamous accusations by three African-American women on a bus who said that they had been harassed and racially yelled at, and it turned out, by many people's calculations, not to be true? Did you learn anything from that?
Well, the interesting thing about that incident is that we have been engaged across our campuses on issues of equity, diversity, and inclusion for months now in this recent high-profile student commentary on whether they are being accepted and honored on their campuses, starting all the way back with the University of Missouri issues. And so we've paid keen attention to any kind of accusation that our students are not safe and comfortable in their own skin on our campuses. So, of course, this incident caught our attention as well. And you may know that our board in the last several meetings passed a diversity, equity, and inclusion set of policies for each of our campuses. So what I can say about the incident is that we have the person power to address these issues no matter how they fall out. And of course, this one fell out differently than it first appeared, but I'm very proud of the work of UAlbany in being calm, cool, and collected and listening to the whole story.
So very quickly, you said a series of policies by the SUNY Board of Trustees involving inclusion and equity. Can you give us a couple of examples of what that would mean?
Well, we've asked every campus to tell us, to share with us their program on all three fronts. And diversity, equity, inclusion, all three words mean something different to different campuses. But we've particularly called for a chief diversity officer on each of our 64 campuses. It didn't necessarily mean that you had to find the money to hire one whole new person, but that somebody on each of our campuses must be the front door to any concerns that our students have. We at SUNY have our own diversity officer, so we've called for education of our students, enhancement of the cultural climate on our campuses, dealing particularly when freshmen enter our campuses and are new to the college environment. What are you telling them? How do you use student orientation? How do you create events that lift up and recognize diversity in its multiple forms? So this is how SUNY works. When the Board of Trustees of the State University of New York makes a policy, it applies to every one of our campuses. We have a different kind of relationship with our community colleges because they have local boards, but we've asked them on issues of this great importance to pay attention to what the board is asking for.
Nancy Zimmer, what about admissions? You know, the Supreme Court of the United States has set this back a number of places where campuses have tried to say, okay, because our diversity isn't enough, we want to set up an admissions policy, which will maybe get some people to the front of the line. How does SUNY react to that?
Well, we have this immense opportunity because we have all the sectors under one umbrella. I mean, we're the only system in the country that has 30 community colleges that are open access. So
right, you go.
You want to go, you go. And then to put icing on the cake, which is, I think, one of our most profound policy efforts, is to make transfer seamless. If you do work, completed work, at a community college, you will transfer guaranteed. So in a way, because we have this pipeline, this pathway, we don't have to deal with the issues that get some institutions in trouble with the law or
the Supreme Court.
No, we have this marvelous pathway, which is another reason why it's been so wonderful to work in a system where we have this diversity.
I have to say that's a very good answer, and I'm proud of my institution that I spent so many years of coming up with this idea.
It is proud of you, Alan.
So let's talk a little bit about, we have a new Regents Chancellor, Betty Rosa. Any advice to her?
Well, the biggest advice is that we're eager to get to know her. I have to say that from her appointment as commissioner, Mary Ellen Elia,
yes,
and I have been in multiple discussions, and I think Mary Ellen will be a great pathway to familiarize the new leadership of the Regents with the work SED, the State Education Department, and SUNY, the State University of New York, are doing together. You're going to see more of this. We're getting ready to make some announcements around the transformation of our teacher preparation programs.
Give us a hint.
Oh, I gave one a couple weeks ago. I'll just reiterate it. We are challenged to put our students in practice positions in our schools because of the heavy burden of testing. I would say people refer to it as high-stakes testing. And it's made teachers a little suspect about having rookies in their classroom. Mm-hmm. Now, to me, it's all hands on deck. The more help, the better. And, of course, how are we going to prepare future teachers if they're not practicing with our current expert teachers? So we've said we need some intervention at the state level. We might even need laws that bind schools, K-12 schools, and colleges together in professional training, like hospitals. Our medical schools and our teaching hospitals are bound by law to provide those clinical opportunities. We have no such protections. So that might be a recommendation that the commissioner and I would make together for consideration of the education committees of the Senate and the Assembly.
So I'm a little slow. So let me ask you this. So let's just say Scarsdale, I'm just picking one out of the hat, decides they don't want to take people from the state university for whatever reason, the teachers don't want it. This would be a law saying, no, you have to.
Well, I think the law would advise us to create some kind of memorandum of understanding and a system I can only imagine. We haven't written the terminology for this, but you might have to show cause why it's not appropriate. But on a positive side, the state might incentivize some of these partnerships to get them started. It might be honorific to take student teachers because, you know, teaching hospitals are above grade. They are the best hospitals in the country. And frankly, this might be competitive in the sense that if Scarsdale sees itself as the best school district in the country, in the state, why wouldn't you want to be training future teachers?
Sure, sure. Nancy Zipfer, we were talking a little bit about the governor before and how well you've gotten along with him. He's under real attack in the city of New York for the way in which he has treated the city university. He said he was going to help them, but they think that he's eliminated a good deal of money from their budget, and they are putting out pictures of him with fangs on him and things of that kind. And so I know that you're SUNY and that you have to watch out first for SUNY, but do you have any kind of feeling of compatriotism with the city university on this issue?
Well, in the time that I have been in the great Empire State, I've had a great partnership with CUNY. I certainly worked hand in glove with the previous chancellor, and I now work with J.B. Milliken. We have many interests in common, and I don't think that anything that's going on right now in this debate will affect our relationship.
Yeah, but are they being screwed?
Whoa, Alan. I want the most support for public higher education in the state of New York that we can possibly gain. That you would expect me to say. I will say one other thing. If part of the concern is the cost of doing business, and we have this great experience with shared services and saving money, we are fully prepared to share that expertise with CUNY. And I guess we have to leave the rest of the politics at the door.
Do you think it's ever possible that there would be just one statewide system, the city and the state, all run under one person's aegis, maybe yours?
If anything I've learned in New York is that anything is possible. But right now, I think the partnership that we have works well for us. SUNY is a big enterprise to manage.
Indeed.
I got a full-time job doing what I'm doing.
Well, that's a good answer.
Thank you.
Let's talk about the SUNY and the Federal Reserve Bank. You guys have a little program coming up.
We have just an emerging and terrific relationship with the New York Fed, and it's really focusing on entrepreneurship. And so I was in the room with 100 brilliant students who want to be more entrepreneurial, and the Fed wants to support their emergence into aspiring markets. And so we're supporting
them. So what do you mean by entrepreneurial in this case?
Well, we have kids in high school and college who are creating ideas, an example of which I saw at one of our early college high schools a couple of weeks ago. These kids were working on a plan that when you drop your iPhone, your device, and the glass shatters, they're going to make it impossible for that glass to shatter. And I'll be darned if 3 days later I didn't drop my device and the glass shattered. And I go, where were these kids when I needed them? These are high school students that are creating ideas that are incredibly marketable. So the Fed wants to teach them how to manage their idea, teach them how to seek private investment for these ideas. And age is not a factor. If you're bright and you have an idea, and of course, focused on our SUNY campuses and quite frankly, students from CUNY, from our private independent colleges. So it's a great idea. And there's so much about the millennial generation wanting to be their own boss, wanting to have their own ideas. So we're all in for that. And I'll tell you, that's just the beginning of a big partnership with the Fed.
So how does the Fed actually do it? Do they give money towards this?
Yeah, we have investments like scholarships, or you make a request for proposals, and of course for money and for support. There will be a limit to that, but it's an early investment. I don't know the exact figure, the dollar amount, but this is what the students came. Actually, we were in the SUNY global headquarters in New York City with these 100 students, and I was able to say to them, you know what? We did this for entrepreneurs in SUNY, professors, doctoral students. We do it every year. They come and give an 8-minute pitch on their idea to about 50 venture capitalists. So this is all part of keeping venture capital, which the Fed can organize to hear these proposals. So they prime the pump, but what we're really trying to do is connect our young entrepreneurs with venture capital. So the venture capital stays on the East Coast and in New York State instead of traveling west.
So, Nancy Zipfer, I know that Governor Cuomo is extraordinarily concerned about the state of the economy, particularly upstate, where so many Sunnis are. And I know that he has espoused the program, and so have you, of startups that relate to various campuses. You know, you want to bring... How is that a whole thing working out? There was some kind of an arrangement where if you did one of those, you were tax-free for a certain amount of time.
Right, right. Well, Startup New York is alive and well. Earlier, I talked about a list of things that we've collaborated on, of course, the regional economic development centers. But here's how startup works. A campus, a SUNY campus or CUNY or our independent colleges, makes a case that they are mission ready to partner up with business. Those are full on proposals. They go to SUNY. They go to the Empire State Development Corporation. Something like 50 of our 64 campuses have now been approved to partner up with business and industry. And we have a good number, the majority, I will say 80% of the startups that exist now in New York are on SUNY campuses. It is yielding...
Wow, that's incredible, 80%.
Oh, it is incredible. Every one of our campuses, you know, this is interesting, and you would appreciate this as a faculty member. When a campus wants to invite business to that campus, the businesses must meet the mission of that campus. So the review process is, okay, Cobleskill, if you're about agriculture and horses or dairy products or veterinary medicine, you should be receiving businesses that fall into the skill set that you have. That keeps sort of the randomness of this opportunity at bay. Faculty get a chance to weigh in that, yes, indeed, this is appropriate to our work.
Interesting.
And so not only do we have about 150 of these partnerships solidified, they are projecting literally thousands of new jobs for the state of New York. So we are a big advocate. And in fact, coming up in the very near future is a convening where we will be very public about the successes of Startup New York.
So if I'm a college president on one of those many, many campuses that you have, and I know that Nancy Zimfer and the governor want me to have this Startup New York, I might get nervous saying, oh my goodness, I have to find something that will work at our place, right?
Well, you know, I do not live in a command and control environment. I live in an environment where
the great command and controllers say that.
Well, I don't think I'm a... Well, we'll leave that to the general public. But the point is, we have only our influence, our interest, our commitment to innovation. And so I don't really think this took me convincing campuses. I don't think there's any kind of fear factor. I think this made sense to our campuses.
But when you evaluate Nancy Zimfer, whether a college president deserves to be re-upped.
Yes.
Right. This is going to be part of the package, right?
I have a 5-point evaluation process in place at the moment. We call it SUNY Excels. We expect presidents to lead in areas of access, degree completion, job success, innovation and research, and engagement, like outreach and community involvement. So, believe it or not, we have 17, don't ask me how we ended up with 17 metrics that every campus is asked to report on annually. They get to tailor make it to the mission of their campus, but I'm very proud of the fact that we have a performance system, that people respond, and that we can then judge and hopefully compensate our presidents appropriately.
Have you ever had to tell a president you're not making the grade?
Yes, indeed.
How is that? Is that hard?
You know what? I think it's a good thing. I think people want feedback. I really do. I don't walk into anybody. I can't even remember walk into somebody and say, you know what, you're fired.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. That
isn't like
how
Donald
the world.
Trump, yeah.
Well, I don't think so. But at any rate, this is not an easy interview to our listening audience. He's pushing all the buttons. But at any rate, this gives presidents a really good chance to excel. It tells them where they stand. I think they feel like they're contributing to not only SUNY, but to the state of New York and to the greater good.
Have you been able, Nancy Zimfer, to keep the politicians' grubby hands off the... of the appointment of presidents, you know, this is my brother-in-law, that kind of thing.
I can honestly say in almost every case, we have been politics-free. We have a search process. I charge the search committee. I have a designee that works with them. I tell them what the rules of the game are. It's an above-board process. I'm very proud. You know, I have hired 47 presidents
Man, that's
in
a lot.
7.5 years.
Wow.
And they're great.
Do presidents, I've often wondered about this, Nancy, do presidents have a sort of a informal tenure? In other words, 7 years and out, or does that not exist?
We don't really have a contract process, so it's a renewable, ongoing.
But is there sort of an understanding?
You know, we do a 5-year review, so yeah. Maybe that sets a target.
Yeah.
By the way, I read that the average tenure for a system chancellor is 2.4 years.
And you have been here many, many years.
Times dog years. So think about it.
Okay. So there is a question that always comes up, and that is whether or not universities should be doing major sort of league, for want of a better word, college sports. In other words, Division I gets a lot of attention. Alumni like it. They'll give money. How do you feel about that? I know that you've been involved in that kind of discussion for many years, even before SUNY.
Much before SUNY, I came of age at Ohio State, which is a big athletic participant in the Big Ten Conference.
And in the presidential primaries.
Well, apparently. So I've had a lot of experience. I really see the good side of collegiate athletics at all division levels, 1, 2, and 3. I think really student athletes have an opportunity to show leadership in ways that aren't always available to every student. I wish they were. I think teamwork, you know, you hear business employers talking about, we want to see people who know how to work in teams. By and large, athletics is a team sport, so to speak. And I think the NCAA has had this wonderful commercial, something like 99% of the student athletes will go pro in something other than
should
athletics.
Nancy Zimmer, should student athletes be paid? People say, well, you know, they fill the bleacher seats, they do all of this, they can get hurt. Why not pay them?
I think as a member of the Knight Commission and previously a member of the NCAA executive committees, I think that we need to reimburse students for the true cost of college. And I think that's a debatable figure. But I think what stands between amateurism and professionalism is something called paying student athletes. And so I think I've gone as far as I can. I'm a member of two bodies that are debating this issue. But I think we lean toward the true cost of college and not so-called pay for service.
So if somebody goes to a $60,000 a year college over 4 years, they should be paid back that amount of money?
Well, I think the true cost of college is just that. It costs a certain amount to educate a student or for a student to participate. And as you well know, there's a huge diversity in this country in the cost of college, SUNY being one of the most affordable, by the way.
How much is it now for SUNY if you don't get a scholarship?
It's $6,400 plus or minus.
A semester or a year?
I know, isn't that a great question?
Year.
A year.
Okay.
That's what people can't believe.
Yeah, that's not
lowest
a lot of
in New England, the Northeast, and in the lowest quartile across the country.
And of course, many people who can't afford it come in under different kinds of programs.
Well, and we have this amazing tuition assistance program in New York State, which is $5,000. We at SUNY supplement the difference between $6,400 and $5,000 for our neediest students so they do not feel the cost. And I think that's one of the things we, the state of New York and SUNY, should be very proud of.
And I know that in the old days you were doing prison programs. Are you still doing prison programs?
We do have some. We'd like to have more.
Uh-huh. Because?
Because we think that rehabilitating incarcerated individuals gives them a life chance, and we're all for that.
I need about a minute from you on a very strategic question, and that is, former New York State Commissioner John King is now Secretary of Education at the U.S. Department of Education. I know this is a guy you know that you've worked with. What do you make of that?
Well, I think it's good to have friends in high places. Let's start there. And I think he's done a lot to understand what the role of higher education is in educational reform. And so we're going to work with him, of course.
But, of course, testing has been the big bit noir.
It's a big issue everywhere. I was on the governor's commission most recently. I think we've got it in a good place, and we're going to work on it and get better.
Our guest on the Capital Connection this week is Chancellor Nancy Zimmer. I love it when she comes here because I love her. I suppose I'm not supposed to say that. But in any case,
it's mutual.
But in any case, it's just great to see you, Nancy, and I really thank you. I know how busy you are, and I think we've all gotten a taste of that today. So, Nancy Zimmer, we thank you. We're hoping that you'll come back again real soon and that we'll see you then.
Thank you so much, Alan.
The Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.